currency on planet Earth. The currency is murder, you a man of worth. They say the day is coming, drumming that you can't reverse. Watch the banner burn before the cannon burst. Don't chase an illusion, the nation hallusa. Hallelujah, taste of the future. The people, the shower, the pistol, the coward, the face of the shooter. Lonely martyrs, magic carpets, dirty blankets, Coca-Cola, soul controller, holy waters. Middle East mode, sand glorious, cheat code in Babylonian, the Orient. My superhero got the people power. Yassin and Yassin, you should heed the hour.
With you and living kings, I mean it, I mean. I mean it, I mean. Yassin and Yassin in the R.E.D. I mean it, I mean. Original nation, with one solid, I mean. I mean it, I mean. Straight jacket, come clean, Yassin and Yassin in the R.E.D. Original nation, with one solid, with it.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock on the dot on this genocide cover-up day morning. You just finished listening to Yassin Bey and A Tribe Called Red. That was the track. And the conversation was Indigenous Vision for the New Millennium. That was environmentalist, economist, and writer Wynonut LeDuc at the Landmark Address from 1998. At 10 a.m., so coming up right now, is going to be First Voices Radio. Oglala Lakota member Corrine Fairbanks talks about her work as director of the American Indian Movement in Southern California. Again, this is KBOO Portland. Stay tuned.
Join me, Lanita Duke, every first and third Friday between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. on From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary. Joining me is Professor Diane Johnson and political analysis provided by Landon Crow. From the Grassroots, every first and third Friday between 8 and 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland.
Unhappy about the current political regime? Want to do something about it? Something social justice related? But how do you find out about these things? Portland Resistance Calendar lets you know about a lot of these happening in the Portland area for the next week. It's a weekly podcast. It's a blog. It's a calendar. It's a floor cleaner. It's updated on Fridays. Learn more at kboo.fm/resist.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film screening of Living While Dying on Tuesday, November 28, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Everything you wanted to know about conscious dying but were afraid to ask, Living While Dying is a documentary film exploring how different people are preparing for death and reevaluating their relationship to dying. Again, that's Living While Dying on Tuesday, November 28, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Uchasha, akan tu uchasha. Owe to na kecha makhake le akan ompi. O ahu topa na khupa hu yukhami. Taka uskan skan ompi kele na yuha. makakele hakan khaka ta ko e chake na ke he on ona ha o hoki chi la mani pikte makakele o hoki la mi mo shi la he on he je le o yu ta
ta ta ni ma
Ambete washtelo oyate tokahe wichake imachia pelo naha yuha chante washte na pechi uza pelo leum kipikehe washtelo oyate hona umpi ohua oskati wichoni. Greetings and good morning and welcome, my relatives. I shake your hands with good feelings in my heart, and the whole world is a beautiful day, and it's good for all of us to be here and let the people hear your voice respectfully and celebrate life in addition to reality from the Pacifica Radio Network. This is First Voices Radio, and I send you greetings and strength from the east gate of Turtle Island, where the sun and the water touch the earth at once. Our website is firstvoicesindigenousradio.org, and I want to thank you for your generosity as always and for being there. You know who you are. Without you, we cannot continue. Again, my name is Teokas and Ghost Doors. If I didn't say it first, I said it in my language. And I want to tell you that we are going to be tweaking the First Voices Indigenous Radio site and get it all up to date really soon. It's been quite a while, maybe years before we since we've done that, and it was first created way back, I think it was 2007, and earlier before that in a very basic static page in 2004 2005. So we've been on the air quite a long time as a consultant, as a radio host and whatnot for First Voices Indigenous Radio producer. And right now our producers are Liz Hill, and audio editor is Lloyd Miller, and this is First Voices Indigenous Radio. That's the old name, right? First Voices Indigenous Radio. This is First Voices Radio right now. We're gonna, in a minute or two, we're going to be speaking with Corrine Fairbanks, who is a Lakota director of the American Indian Movement in Southern California, who has been working in the justice or social justice field and social service nonprofit world for most of her adult life. In addition to her work with AIM, she is an advocate for environmental and climate change in Indigenous women's feminism, mental health, and recovery. And that covers a lot of ground, folks. It really does. And if you think about that, it's not about if those of you who are familiar with AIM, it's not the stereotypical usage that we think of, the mental usage we think about AIM, because it does many of the things that Corrine has been doing, working with the people, with Earth, and other things such as recovering from the damage that has been done to the Native people and other people. As you well know, our history is not what you think it is when it comes from our perspective. And I want to talk about something that is in this local area. It's a place called Whitesboro. And think about that, Whitesboro, New York. And what if we use what we'll be talking about? This, I'm just going to present these as questions here. What if we use it as the logo that I'm going to be talking about on an NFL team? Or the team helmet mascot on their helmets, or if it were the picture used on front of a book when teaching young ones, or maybe on the front of a state map. It's either political correctness versus political incorrectness. And in this case, there is other things that could be said. And this is why we talk about these things, and I think Corrine will be able to center some things that I'm talking about, the debate that we've been seeing around mascots. And you think it's a light subject, and yet it starts deep, and it's very devious, and it's really missing the point. And there are real impacts that we see in Native youth around the country that have lower self-esteem because of these mascots, or even what they see as what we'll be talking about. Corrine and I will talk about is the city seal of Whitesboro, New York, and that they have the native people, the native children, and they have the worst education outcomes in the nation. That's the result. It all points to the need to retire these mascots across the board from kindergarten through 12th, and it's post-secondary schools and in professional leagues also. So there's more that we could talk about, and right now I don't want to delay this process and bring our guest on, who is Corinne Fairbanks, who is, again, the director of the American Indian Movement in South California. Corinne, good morning all this morning from Santa Barbara.
Oh, good morning. I'm actually in Los Angeles now.
Oh, well, we're in Los Angeles. Good. Thank you for coming on. You know, Corinne, you know, there's a lot going on here. And of course, sometimes social media does come through with something that's worthwhile talking about. And I'm right now staring at this village of Whitesboro, New York, who their logo, their mascot, which depicts, I would say, the image that many people have found offensive, many Native people and other people who really are awake, and started a petition. But recently that town, I think it was last week, of Whitesboro, voted overwhelmingly to keep the city seal and a cartoonish-like picture depiction of a settler, I would say, obviously in white skin, moving over a Native man, supposedly of Oneida heritage, and choking him. And they say it's all in a good fun because it started with, you know, a local Oneida man and a white man, and the Native man, challenging the white man to a wrestling match who lost. The Native man lost, and that's how they signed a so-called peace treaty. And after that, they got along. So that is, you know, it's a likely story or an unlikely story. We can kind of wonder why that needs to be put on a, you know, city seal. And to a lot of people think that, well, this is politically correct, and it's one of those things, but the village itself just voted that, no, it's not offensive to anybody. But as I proposed, if you show this to a child or anyone who doesn't know that history, that image, which means a lot of symbology to a lot of folks all over the world, the first thing you see is kind of like an imprint. And if you show this to Native kids or anyone, it's going to affect one or another. If they're non-Native kids, they're going to think, well, look, that means we're dominant as white people, because sooner or later, that they're going to go back. And the other one, the Native child, would think, oh, you know, we're losing or something like this. And you know what it does. And I know you've been working with these mascots and these monikers and all these ill-based thought processes out there that have frequently have been inaccurate, historically inaccurate. So you've been following this, and I'd like to know your thoughts on this.
I actually have quite a few thoughts, and I really appreciate being on the show. Thank you for having me. And I want to apologize first beforehand, because I'm kind of dealing with a bit of a sinus infection, so I hope my voice is coming across clearly, and apologize in advance if I cough or whatever. I'm sorry about that. But I do have a few feelings. You know, our chapter worked very hard on the Junipero Serra, the canonization of Junipero Serra. And he was, for those of your listeners that don't know who he was, this was not a Catholic issue. I mean, most of us are not Catholic, and many people were not able to draw the connection as to why we were against the sainthood of Junipero Serra. Junipero Serra started the mission system here in California, from Baja California all the way to the Bay Area, Sonoma area. And these were concentration camps. These were death camps for California Native people. And it also role modeled the whole Southwest mission system. So now, how does this relate to what we're talking about? How this relates is the California mission system has a, a very sick partnership with the public school system. The Padres of the mission system wrote California history into the curriculum or the textbook that school children now have to study in the fourth grade. And so if you can imagine the amount of lies and misrepresentation, you know, the amount of marketing and proactive colonization and domination is still taking place in today. That was the huge reason why we were against with that. Not only that, was the international opinion of Native people and the Pope stating clearly that, hey, what happened to Native people in, you know, regarding the Doctrine of Discovery and invaders and colonizers coming to our land, stealing it and, you know, murdering and slavery with Native people was okay. That's what that canonization meant. Now, here we have what's happening in Whiteboro. Number one, you and I, you've already touched on that the town's name and the seal kind of point to one direction. It's a no-brainer. Basically, it's about domination and control. The seal is looking like white people dominated the Native people that were there, and here we have this progressive town called Whiteboro today. So, in a sense, there's already an unconscious and conscious message going across saying, this is what happened, it's all okay, and here we are. So what's happening in that whole scenario, and again, trying to make that connection to the Hunipero-Sara issue, is that we have non-Native people that are trying to take ownership of Native history, Native stories, and, you know, taking ownership, using oppression and domination as, you know, even in written form, but definitely in imagery, and most, I assure you, none of their public school systems and their curriculums even speak to how they took over and stole that land from the Oneida people or from the Native people of that area. So there's definite connections here, whether the residents of Whiteboro want to admit it or not. If they were to put any other ethnicity in that seal doing the exact same thing, there would be no stone left unturned until that seal was taken down, removed, and substituted to something else much more appropriate, much more culturally sensitive appropriate. So this is really